Hello, and welcome to NDTnow.com's podcast, GAIN, exploring topics in NDT which affect your business. I'm your host, Mary Beth Michelli. Today's podcast is brought to you by Edify Technologies, the world leader in advanced non-destructive testing solutions designed to always keep you beyond current. For more information, visit edify.com. On today's podcast, we have Paula Summers Murphy back from Vision Financial Group, here to talk about how different financing solutions can help facilitate company growth. Paula, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Mary Beth. It's good to be back.
So today is part two of a three-part series in which we will discuss topics related to financing in the NDT industry. So, Paula, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what to expect from today's session?
Sure, Mary Beth. So in part one, we covered the importance of the strategic and fundamental financial health of both NDT inspection companies and NDT equipment manufacturers. Today in part two, we will discuss the different types of financing mechanisms for NDT companies acquiring equipment and how each can be used as a different strategy depending on the scenario.
Fantastic. So before we start talking about the different types of financing mechanisms, can we talk about the other option to acquiring equipment, paying cash?
Absolutely. Even as an equipment finance company, we do recognize that sometimes there are multiple methods to acquire equipment, and there certainly are benefits to paying cash in certain scenarios. One of the benefits is simplicity. It's very easy to pay with cash. Ownership. Oftentimes there's pride in paying cash as well as an immediate ownership by paying cash. Also, there's zero interest expense. You know, paying cash is cheaper because you don't incur financing charges. But while it is true that paying cash to acquire equipment is generally less money out the door, as opposed to obtaining credit and using a financing mechanism, one prevailing thought is that paying cash for equipment up front is the same as paying a few years' worth of salary in advance to an employee. You know, in both cases, your organization is not really necessarily reaping the benefits from the employee or the equipment immediately. So why pay for something up front when you're not going to receive the full benefit until later?
Totally true. When you're looking at the return on investment, it's really important to take that into consideration for sure. So we talked about this in part one, but can you remind us briefly how a company can be financially healthy by using financing to acquire their equipment?
Sure. So what we talked about was keeping your balance sheet strong is very important for the valuation of your business and for the potential sale of your company. And that working capital is the lifeblood of any business, and it's the most crucial component for a firm's success. Additionally, revenues are created through the use of equipment and not necessarily through the ownership of equipment. For example, a financed floor map scanner produces the same amount of revenue as an owned floor map scanner, but the difference is that the company who paid cash now has less cash in their pocket. And it's interesting, I think that as Americans, we have this strong desire to own, and that often confuses the logical decision-making process to maximize profits. I often think that it's really ironic that a company will lease appreciating assets like land and buildings, but they'll own depreciating assets like equipment.
That's a really good point. Some of the stuff that I haven't even thought about. So I guess that does raise a little bit of a question. So can you tell me more about the equipment finance industry in terms of the number of U.S. businesses who utilize financing?
Sure. So I think there's a general misnomer out there in the marketplace that companies who utilize financing can't afford equipment. And that's a very inaccurate statement. Approximately 80% of U.S. companies finance equipment. And that includes the largest and most successful companies in the world who are employing full offices of attorneys and tax specialists. And they recognize the benefits of financing equipment as opposed to paying cash. So every year, American businesses, nonprofits, government agencies, they invest over $1.6 trillion in capital goods and software. And of that, 60% or about $1 trillion is financed through loans, leases, and other financial instruments.
Wow. I did not realize that the number was that high. That's really interesting, actually. So with all that said, can you talk a little bit about the different types of financing methods, and maybe a little bit about like what the different types are that, that a company can use?
Sure. Before we do that, I wanted to kind of just talk about some of the merits of using financing over paying cash. Some of those items are to preserve cash. We talked about that earlier with the working capital. Preserving your lines of credit, that takes it a step further. When you finance with a non-bank financing company, that not only preserves your cash, but it preserves your lines of credit that you have with your bank, which become extremely valuable when it comes time to operating the business and meeting payroll and things like that. Also, financing equipment gives you the opportunity to pay for the equipment over time as it generates revenue. So this creates an improved matching of cash outlays with your income. Essentially, the equipment is paying its own way, so to speak. And you're also getting flexibility, you know, establishing finance terms that work best for your cash flow needs, whether that's seasonal payments, or using some of the different types of financing mechanisms that we're going to talk about next. So the different types, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, and I think I brought this up last time too, but I think it's so important to also, you know, bring up the resiliency of a company that is able to, I mean, with COVID and with the aviation industry and the oil and gas industry and all of that, mm-hmm. that has a lot of volatility. I think it's so important to have that cash on hand so that if something does happen, there's a little less, you have a little more of a cushion instead of outlaying all of that cash up front. You're sort of adding to the resiliency of your company by utilizing these financing mechanisms.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we talked about this last time, and you know, the experts typically recommend 3 to 6 months of cash reserves. And I think we clearly saw during COVID that was not necessarily enough. And you know, the old saying cash is king is still true.
For sure, for sure. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So can you tell us a little bit about those financing methods?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So basically you have essentially four different financing mechanisms. So you have your traditional loan, which is essentially what a bank is going to offer. Independent financing companies also offer loans as well. These are typically used for titled vehicles, but they can be used for any type of equipment. There's two different types of leases that can be offered. So first we'll talk about a capital lease. A capital lease functions pretty much very similarly to a loan. The only difference is that the lessor owns the equipment and contracts with the customer for its possession and use over an extended period of time. And a capital lease is also, the equipment is owned at the end of the term, and the lessee can also depreciate the equipment like they would with a loan. Now, the difference with a true lease, which is also sometimes called an operating lease, also can be called a fair market value lease, is that it allows the customer to have more options at the end of the term. So typically these options are return the equipment to the lessor, continue to finance the equipment, or purchase it for the then fair market value or some predetermined sum. And then also what we see a lot in the marketplace are rental agreements. These are typically short-term, usually less than 12 months. The manufacturer of the equipment typically is responsible for the insurance and maintenance of rental equipment, and it's typically higher payments.
Interesting. And if most people are like me, we sort of understand capital lease and loans, but why would a company choose an operating lease?
Sure. So there's several advantages to an operating lease. There are net after-tax advantages. When you have an operating lease payment, it is an off-balance sheet payment, which means that it allows the payment to be deducted on the income statement, but does not place the payment or the obligation of the asset on your balance sheet. So there's no increase in your current liabilities. Also, that flexibility at the end of the term. You know, a lot of times in the NDT industry, we're seeing pretty high-tech equipment. So, and the technology is rapidly changing. So a customer may want to acquire something, but they know 3, 4, or 5 years down the road, they're going to want an upgrade to that system. So that's when an operating lease really makes a lot of sense as well.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. Are these used quite a bit in the NDT industry? And maybe how often are they used?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I would say probably 20% of the time operating leases are used, and 80% of the time capital leases and loans are used. And, you know, there's as many accountants and tax lawyers out there to give advice on why to use each in different scenarios. But I would say the most common reason is that, you know, technology obsolescence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's what really goes to why it's so important to work with a financing company that understands NDT as well. You know, I think so often that people come into the NDT industry, you know, whether it's financing or insurance or whatever, and they don't understand the NDT industry, and then they have to leave right away because they just don't get it. So I think it's really important to have those kinds of options for NDT service companies for sure.
Sure, absolutely. And then when you're working with a lender who understands the equipment, they're able to provide more competitive residual values at the end of that operating lease term.
Oh, such a good point.
Yeah, so probably much more competitive, lower monthly payments than a lending institution that doesn't understand what guided wave ultrasonics are.
For sure. So I'm wondering though, can you bundle a bunch of different asset types together?
Yes, absolutely. So we see that a lot with some of our customers that are acquiring a mobile darkroom solution. So when they're acquiring both a vehicle and, you know, the x-ray equipment needed for a mobile darkroom, they are getting a more competitive package put together with that vehicle asset as well as the NDT asset. If you're acquiring the NDT asset alone, it might be a little bit higher interest rate, shorter term, but when you're bundling it together, you can get a little bit more favorable terms.
Oh, that's excellent. I hadn't even thought of that, really. So that's a really great option. Is there anything else that you think that our listeners need to know about the different financing mechanisms that maybe they hadn't thought of yet?
You know, I think it's always important just to come into any type of decision to acquire equipment with an open mind and the thought to, you know, there's so much, I think about NDT, you know, it's such a great industry because there's so many different options of technology to use depending on the situation, right? So why wouldn't you also consider different types of financing options? Specifically, you know, I think about an NDT, there's a lot of project-specific equipment needs, right? A company may get a project for, let's say, 2 to 3 years. Hopefully that gets renewed, obviously, but if you're only committed to a 3-year contract, you're only going to want to finance that equipment for 3 years. And if that equipment has value at the end of that 3 years, why not have an option where you can return it or you can continue to finance it? I think that having that flexibility makes a lot of sense in that scenario.
And that was such a good analogy talking about, you know, when we're looking at what NDT method to utilize for a specific application, we look at all the methods and then we start to whittle it down and figure out what's the most appropriate method, depending on the physics and application, et cetera, et cetera. And it was such a good analogy because, you know, why wouldn't you look at all the different methods when you're looking at financing? And I think a lot of times for NDT companies, a lot of us did not have business training and we end up owning companies. And I think this is such a good series for our listeners because it really allows them to get insight in a neutral manner where they can really start to understand what some of the benefits are and what the drawbacks are and how do they get return on investment and how do they grow their company. So I'm really excited that we are doing this series. So thank you again for joining us today. I think this is going to be great, and I'm looking forward to part three.
Sure, absolutely. I look forward to that as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for listening today. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to ndtnow.com, or you can reach out to Paula directly. We have, we'll put her email address in this next podcast listing. And remember, we're here every month at ndtnow.com. And today's podcast was brought to you by Edify Technologies. Learn more at edify.com.